I walked into service this morning and someone said, "Maurice, where have you been? We haven't seen you in almost a month." That's what the month of July does to me, because every one of my job takes vacation around that time, so I choose not to take vacation then. However, I'm on vacation from the 6th to the 12th, on the end of September, because September is the best month of the year. We spoke a lot about Elijah, and to be honest, I really tried to pull myself away from Elijah this morning, but we are right back talking about Elijah again.
Amen.
All right. So the last time we got a lot into 1 Kings 18, and we went back into 16, and you know, follow the pattern how God works, repositioning Elijah, and he was so in tune with the voice of God that he was exactly where God wanted to be every single time. That when he moved him from being in the presence of Ahab and tell him, "Listen, declare that there's not going to be any rain, and move to the brook Cherub, and the ravens are going to feed you," he went, even though he knew that ravens only deal with dead stuff. Uh-huh. And that it was not the normal process for a believer to associate with anything that was dead. As a matter of fact, it was against the law. And then God moved him, or repositioned him again, and moved him to the widow's house. But what we saw in all that is that God was building him to the point where he can bring the 850 prophets of Baal together and bring them down. But this morning, as we got into the word, what we see is that just before Jezebel got all the information, Elijah decided that the Spirit of God was upon him. He was going to run from Mount Carmel all the way to Jezreel. And he outrun Ahab and his chariot to get there. I think he ran there because he was expecting something to happen in Jezreel that day. I think that he got there because he saw God move on Mount Carmel and said, "God is going to do more. And I want to be right there when it happens." So he got to Jezreel, and we saw that Ahab told Jezebel everything that happened. And then Jezebel offered a threat to him. Said, "See what you did to my 850 prophets? Guess what? Before the end of the day, you're going to be just like them." And Elijah began to run. Elijah began to run. I think Elijah, when he got to Jezreel, was expecting, because the prophets had fallen, the people were stirred up, that probably Jezebel and Ahab were going to repent and, you know, the nation was going to turn around. But that didn't happen. Instead, he got a threat. You see, sometimes when we are walking with God, we tend to preconceive what God is going to do.
Oh, yeah.
And when it is that he doesn't do it the way we want him to do it, we get discouraged. We get to the point where we feel, this thing not working all the way, I better find another route.
Amen.
And he took the threat personally, and he decided to get out of Dodge. He ran. And so he ran from Jezreel to Bathsheba. And then he ran from Bathsheba to Mount Horeb. And when we look at the total number of mileage that this guy ran, It was somewhere in the vicinity of 334 miles.
Really?
Because at one point, the journey took him 40 days and 40 nights. Some 334 miles. Running those sort of marathons definitely will make you tired. But what is amazing about it is that I saw the mercy, the grace, the love of God right in the midst of that situation. Because there was Elijah sitting under the juniper tree, relaxing, getting some rest. God didn't walk up to him and say, "Get back to Jezreel. What do you think it is? What do you think it is, son?" No. He said, "Get up and get some food to eat." And he had food waiting right there for him. Probably, if it was me, I would have hit him a tap over his head and tell him to get back to where I told you I needed you, in Jezreel. But thank God I am not God. Thank God I am not God. And I thank God that he's still working on me. I thank God he's still working on me. But here it is. His love reached out to Elijah and he told him, "Listen, get up and eat." Because he recognized that it didn't make any sense talking to him about anything else until he was refreshed, until it is that he was able to get his strength back. Because he couldn't hear anything that he was saying. So he fed him. What surprised me about Elijah is that he went and sat under a juniper tree. But a couple years later, there was another prophet that did the same thing. So when I saw juniper tree, I said, "Why are these guys always going and sitting under this juniper tree when they're running from God?" Because Jonah did the same thing. So much so that the worm had to come and eat the tree and take away the shade and everything from him, so that, you know. The very same tree. I said, "What's up with this juniper tree that these guys like to go chill out on there?" You see, the difference that you see those trees, they are weirdly shaped and, you know, they kind of cover all the way down. It forms almost like a tent. So it was a nice place to go cool off and rest, because when it's that you look at those trees, many of the things around them is mixing like desert.
Yeah.
It's strange. So he needed a place to rest, so he went under this juniper tree, and, you know, the Lord spoke to him, gave him some food to eat, but he still got up and went to Mount Horeb after that. You see, as far as he was concerned, he was doing what he think was the right thing that God wanted him to do, which was to get to the Mount of God.
Right.
That's Mount Horeb. But many times there's the good thing and there's the God thing. And many times the good thing is not necessarily the God thing.
Right.
You see, if God didn't say it, then we got to be careful. So here it was. Before, he was right smack in the middle of the presence of God and stuff was happening. Now he found himself 334 miles away from exactly where God wanted him. Because I believe if it is that he had probably stayed in Jezreel, God would have taken care of Ahab and Jezebel probably a little faster. But he ended up all the way out there, and God decided, "Listen, we're going to make some changes here." He said, in verse 9 and verse 15 of 1 Kings 19, he asked the question, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" In other words, this is not the place that I told you I wanted you to be. Why are you here? Where are you supposed to be? And if it is that you are here, who is doing what you're supposed to do over here? Because you are my man and you're the one I'm talking to. You're the one that I'm making sure that you have the words so that the people can hear. But you are here and the people are over here. What are you doing here, Elijah? said, what are you doing here? He said, Lord, I thought, you know, that, you know, these people ought to kill my life, and I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I get to the mountain. God said, shh, hold up. But what I saw in Elijah was that we do the same thing. Many times we find ourselves in what we think is what where God wants us to be, and we always have an excuse. We always have a theological way of telling God why it is that we are where we are, even though He wants us to be somewhere else. Right. It's strange. We do the same thing. And I give you an example of with myself. For almost the last year or so, the Lord has been talking to me about the parking ministry and certain things that He wanted to do. But He also showed me certain things that He wanted me to get more involved in the house. And I'm telling the Lord, I have nobody else to do this stuff. Well, how could I just, you know, move and do something else when it's that you're telling me to, you know, when there's nobody to do it? Guess what? He sent a man. So guess what? Right now, I have no excuse. Right now, I have no excuse. I have none. So now I have no choice but to start doing what I know He wanted me to do. And for the men in the parking ministry, we're going to talk a little bit about that later this evening. All right? Because we need to make some changes. We need to make sure that things are going the right way. Because God is right now putting things in order. And we need to start operating decently and in order. Amen. We cannot be doing our own things. We need to be sure, ensure that the things that we are doing is the right thing so that when the new folk come in and they're coming, that they see us doing the right thing so that they will do the right thing. Right? Amen. We are the example. Amen. So if it's that we have been doing some wrong things, we just need to make those tweaks. Because since January, we have been talking about the ship. Yeah, the ship is here.
Yeah.
It's here. No more looking for where it's coming or off. It's here. The ship is here. So get back to Elijah. So we saw that, one, Elijah was disappointed. So he ran off. And we saw that by his running, he got so tired that he was unable to even go any further. So he had no choice but to go under that juniper tree and rest. I am totally convinced that the enemy love tired Christians. Mm-hmm. I'm totally convinced.
Mm-hmm. Tell it.
And the reason he loved tired Christians is because when you're tired, you don't think straight, you don't function the way you ought to function. Mm-hmm. Have you ever recognized, for those of you with children, that many times your children wait until you're tired, and then come and ask you the weirdest question to get a yes out of you when it is that you know the answer is supposed to be no? So he recognized that many times he can't come to us in our strength at the point where we are strong. So he waited until we tired ourselves out, and then he come and whoosh. And we end up doing stuff or saying stuff that we wouldn't normally say or do. Of them saying, Lord, what happened? What went wrong? That's why I like Pastor Larry's advice. He said, Maurice, get to bed early. Rest. Because you're going to need your strength the next day. I took the advice. Remember, he stood up here and he shared a whole thing with us about taking care of your body?
Yeah.
Listen, that is so important. That is so important. Because I'm telling you, if it is that you are not resting yourself, it means that you may be doing some stuff that probably you're not really supposed to be doing, but you're doing it. like Elijah, he ran 334 miles away from where God really wanted him to be. He didn't even recognize he did that. Until God started talking to him. He didn't recognize it. The next thing I recognize about Elijah is that after moving that far and he recognized that he had disappointed God, God gave him certain instructions. He said, guess what? There are three guys that I want you to go and anoint.
Mm-hmm.
Two kings and a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see what happened when he got to Elisha? It was so abnormal. Because every time I saw a prophet anointing somebody in before or even after, they would pour the oil and anoint the person and pray for them. He just walked up to the guy and put the mantle and never walk up.
Right.
And I said, that is strange. Yes, he gave him the mantle, but as though there was an attitude with it. Because he recognized, one, he had already disappointed God, and God had already decided to give these guys the assignment that he was supposed to handle back in Jezreel. Because he said, what one don't do, the other one gonna finish. But in the end, they're gonna take care of Ahab and Jezebel and all that stuff. You see to the bottom part of 1 Kings 19.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked when I saw, I never saw it that way before, because now I saw an attitude behind how he did it. At first I thought probably the Lord told him to do that. But then when Elisha walked up to him and said, listen, can I just go? He said, what are you going to do with me? To tell him to go take care, you know, he said, listen, I just want to go take care of my, you know, tell my family what's going on and all that stuff. He said, what are you going to do with me? And he walked up and meet the guy. It was strange. So we gotta start looking at how we do things, our attitude.
Yeah.
But still in the middle of all of that, I still saw the mercy of God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
I still saw the love of God.
Thank you.
That even though he did all that stuff, guess what? He was one of the few men to be taken up,
yeah,
and still alive today, according,
yeah,
to the word.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know where you are with God this morning, but one thing I can tell you, that his mercy is still close to you.
Amen.
His mercy,
yeah,
is still here waiting for us just to come and say, Lord, sorry about that, but you know, let's turn this around. Let's turn this around. Let's turn this around.
Jesus.
Just repent and move on.
Yeah.
And repent, as we keep saying, it's not a matter of just saying I'm sorry, but it's a turn around.
Yeah. Amen.
A whole 180 degrees.
Yeah.
It's a turning around. Because right now, remaining in the presence of God is exactly what he wants from us. Because that's the only place that we're going to be find safety. It's the only place that we're going to be able to hear what he's saying. It's the only place that we're going to be able to be in tune with him. Remember we talked about the last time about making sure that our frequency is so tuned in with God that we can hear his voice, right?
Yes.
Remember that trip I took to Frederick?
Yeah.
My radio was a 95.1 in Baltimore. I got the Frederick and I got a different sort of stuff coming out of 95.1.
Yeah.
It's just that it's a different station because I changed location.
Right. Oh.
Because I changed location. So even if that you're changing location, you still need to make sure that you're fine tuned, like you're really where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Amen.
You're really where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if you just let some of us take a look at our lives, even today, we can see that there's some ways or some things that We may be doing it because we thought it was the right thing, but is it the God thing? If you will, please turn to me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, in that chapter, there's a lot of stuff that I didn't plan to deal with today. I know we have to deal with it at some point. But I really want to start off probably, let's say, around verse 7 or 6. 1 Corinthians 12. Gifts, abilities, talents. Why? So that the entire body could benefit. The gifts, the talents, the ability is not to benefit us, per se, but it's to benefit all. That is why it was sort of difficult for Elijah when it is that he found himself all the way over there. He wasn't able to use the gift that God had given him over here, where God really wanted him. And so it is with us. If it is that God has given us certain gifts, talents, and abilities, are we using them for the glory of God? Are we using them so that all can benefit? And the reason I ask that question is because many times in the church, we as leaders have done not a too good of a job when it came to teaching about the ministries of the church. Now, in this house, I know we have had a lot of teaching, but I'm talking about the church universal. So much so that almost every Christian you talk to, everybody see themselves within the fivefold ministry. Because they don't understand the mission that God has for them. They don't understand where God really wants them to be. And because we have done a poor job in the body of Christ teaching, we have found ourselves in a situation now that we have to unlearn or unteach some of the stuff that we taught to get the people to function effectively in ministry. Because the word of God tells us that there are diversities of gifts, there are diversities of talents. And I think it was Apostle Stagmeyer who made a statement a couple of weeks ago, where there are almost like about 4,000 different combinations. Yeah, I got that. It's in my notes. Yeah, I think he said that at a men's meeting a couple of weeks ago. It was surprising. So if there are almost like 4,000 different combinations, it means that even though we may have similar gifts, Brother Aaron, we may not function the same way. Because there's a certain portion of that gift that God will have you operating that he may not have me operating. But the intention is that when we operate in our gift, everybody should benefit from it.
That's right. That's right.
Everybody should benefit.
Yeah.
So what we find happening in the church right now is that there are some of us that we may have called to the gift of helps, but we so focus on talking that we want to be the preacher. As I always tell people, if today is my last message, I'm all good. As long as I know that I'm right smack in the middle of the will of God, it doesn't matter to me. Secondly, I don't need a title to do what God called me to do.
Amen.
If you talk to any of my pastors, whether it's these guys here or previous, they'll tell you, Murray's going to do what God said, and he don't need a title for it. Because that's how I operate.
Amen.
I met, when was October last year, a prophet turned to me and said, he said, Murray, I've been observing you and I can't figure you out. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, I can tell just by observing people the ministry that they're in. He said, with you, I see the heart of a shepherd, but you are all over the place. Your giftings are, like God can use you anywhere to do anything, anytime. I said, I thought that's how Christianity was supposed to be. That we just need to make ourselves available and God will do what he's going to do. He just shook his head and walked off. But in reality, the only how we can zero in and get fine-tuned is if it's that we remain in the presence. Now, every song we played this morning had to do with the presence. I know some of the songs were new to you guys, and that's quite okay. Because if there's one thing I've learned over the years is that regardless of where you go, the worship is going to be different. And we need to start operating outside of the box because God is going to take us to some places where the worship is not going to be like the worship we're accustomed to, and we just need to get into it. Because it's all about worshiping God.
Amen.
It's all about worshiping God. The first church I sat under, they had a monotone kind of worship. The second church I went to, the music was up there, so it's all everything was upbeat. Alright? I came to this church and you see it going like this? It's okay. but God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. It's like a couple houses away from me, a couple weeks ago, there was some Spanish folks that were having an outdoor worship service.
Oh, really?
All right? And you may have heard it. It was, everything was in Spanish. But guess what? I could have picked up exactly what he was singing. I could have entered from home. They were singing in Spanish, I was singing in English. But the gifts that he gives that he gives us is for the benefit of all. My question is, are we optimizing these gifts? Are we using them in a way that the body is benefiting? Or are we using them so that we can benefit? Or is it that we use the gift that puts us in the limelight, and the gifts that don't, we kind of suppress them? Because I agree with Pastor Larry. He made a statement here a couple years ago when we were doing a Bible study on gifts. He said he believed that every single gift that we need in this house is right here.
Yeah.
Amen.
And guess what? I believe it. It's true. It's here. Amen. We don't have to look outside for anybody to do the stuff that we need to do in this house. Amen. It's right here. Just that some of us may be kind of suppressing it. That's okay. Now we know differently. We can do something about it.
Yeah.
Because when we look around, there's a lot of stuff that our pastors do that in reality they're not supposed to do. Especially since God has gifted us and given us the ability to operate in those areas. We should be operating in those areas so that they can take the time to study and get into the Word so that they can come and feed us and give us the messages that we need to hear.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
But if it is that they're doing all this other stuff, they're not getting the time that they need. I know they didn't know I was going to say that, but that's all right. They can smack me afterwards, that's okay. I was so happy, you know, that Bishop Douglas was able to come and spend some time, you know, with us last weekend.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
I've been trying to make that happen for years, and he so happened to be in town this year, and he went to visit his cousin in Frederick, so he said, listen, you're right here in Frederick, you gotta come, all right? All right, so he came over Saturday evening and spent Sunday with us and went back up on Tuesday. He's in Boston right now. But the reason I really wanted him to be here was to spend some time, because you'll be surprised how much similarity I see in both him and Pastor Larry. They may not have seen it as yet, but I know, because I have observed both of them. And I see some things that Pastor Larry have that Pastor Larry can help him. And I see some things that he have that he can help Pastor Larry. And I say, listen, if these guys get together, they're going to be good. Yeah, I know. I said, it's going to be good. But he said something last week, I got a little bit of the message, that I want to add to today. Mm-hmm. The Word of God tells us that if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you will receive a prophetly reward.
Yeah.
So it is with every other ministry. Mm-hmm. Until we come to the point of releasing our pastors in our eyes as pastors to perform the work that God has called them to do, we are hindering them, or we are hindering them from flowing to the degree that they ought to, and we're hindering ourselves from receiving what God had for us.
Amen.
There needs to come a time that we don't see them as pastors anymore. I think we need to even stop calling them pastors. Because if we say it, that's what we have here. I know names and stuff and titles not important to them, but it needs to be, in their case, important to us. Because we are hindering our own blessing by keeping them in that box and not releasing them to do what God has called them to do. Because just as God has been talking to me, I know he has been talking to all of us here about stuff that we need to change, stuff that we need to do. He has been talking to them too. So don't feel, you know, just one person. He's talking to all of us.
Amen.
He's talking to all of us.
Yes. Amen.
He's talking to all of us. And there's some changes that's going to take place in the house, and we just need to flow with it.
Amen.
Because I can tell you, they're going to do what God tells them to do.
Amen.
Whether we want it to happen or not, they're going to do it. Because I know their heart. Their desire is just to please God.
Amen.
And to see his kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Their desire is to see it happen. I mean, I saw it more when we went to North Carolina. I saw Pastor Larry flow in a way that I have never seen him flow before. He said he had flown, but I didn't see it before. But I saw a different level of ministry when we went to North Carolina. He was doing stuff, and I'm saying, wow, wow, wow. This is the first time I'm telling you. So as they line up with God's will for their life, we need to line up with God's will for our lives.
Amen.
And the only way we can do that, folks, is by not running off the Mount Horeb because we didn't go there, but by getting ourselves planted, getting on our knees and praying, getting into the Word of God, allowing God to work in us and change us. Because the change and everything that we're calling for, you know, it's like we were praying a little while ago for, you know, the Eastern Shore. Do you know that change must first take place in us?
That's right.
It's like Pastor Lisa said something to me on Monday. We were talking about Trinidad and the crime and stuff that were happening down there. And, you know, we're talking about some stuff that happened. And she said, and you guys allow it to happen? And I said, yes, we did. I took full responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know why I take full responsibility? Because the Word of God tells me. Mm-hmm. If my people, who are called by my name, mm-hmm. shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. So if something is happening right now in Baltimore, I'm the guilty one. Mm-hmm. It means that I am not doing what, because God is true to his word.
Yes,
he does exactly what he said he's going to do.
Jesus.
So it's me. I can't point my finger to anybody else. I am not doing what I'm supposed to do. And if we as Christians would just submit ourselves to the word and allow him to just work in us and do what he wants to do. And that's why I so encourage you to just get in the presence. Because I know once you get into the presence, he's going to talk to you, he's going to change some stuff, he's going to mess you up, he's going to make you cry, he's going to do something to you. Because you cannot go into his presence and come back out the same way. You can't do it. You cannot.
Amen.
The last song we pray, everything we need is in his presence. We are running after so many different things and we are missing God. The first thing Elijah should have done when it says that he heard that threat from Jezebel was go to God and find out, God, what do you want me to do? That's the first thing he should have done. But many times the first thing we should do is sometimes the last thing we do. So God had to really let him know, listen, guess what? I'm still God, I'm still here. He said, there are times I can move terrible, you know, like the earthquake, I can show you my power. Yeah, I can shake this mountain. I could be in the wind. I could even come like fire. But sometimes I come like a still, soft voice. And you have to be able to differentiate and know my voice. He said, my sheep know my voice and another they will not entertain. We're supposed to be so tuned into the Word of God that when he speaks that we know, that we know, that we know. That way we can stay in line and not drift off on, you know, on our own thoughts and ideas. That's why I said the last time, it's so important to know who are assigned to us and who we are assigned to. Because many times we waste time with people who just wasting our time. We waste time with people that are just wasting our time. The enemy will send them just to tire us out. I see that work all the time. He sends them just to tire us out. Not everybody that comes to you mean that God wants you to take your pearls before him.
Amen.
Remember that story I told you about the situation at work with the Jezebel spirit? I'll share it with Pastor Larry and myself on Monday evening. So Monday evening at about 3 o'clock, I got a text. Maurice, what's going on at your store? What's happening? I said, well, I wasn't at work because I left work early because I had planned, you know, a function with, you know, between the bishop and I said, I don't know. He said, okay. Then my phone just went beep, 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 beep. People were texting me from all over. So my boss is no longer my boss. The Lord has shifted her away. I don't know his number there, but he has shifted her away. So thank you for your prayer. I appreciate it. You see, prayer goes a lot further than we think.
Yes.
Wow.
When you pray, God sharpens your eyes and sharpens your ears.
Yes.
Yes.
Because you can't truly pray unless you get into his presence, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, I just checking, because didn't sound too convincing. It didn't sound too convincing. And I told you guys, dealing with the situation, all the Lord wanted me to do was deal with it there. Don't say a word.
Mm.
There are times that he won't want you to talk, but there are times that he just wants you to remain silent and see the salvation of God. Be still and see the salvation of God. Yeah. That's the word he gave me for this year for me. Be still. Be still. Remember I keep saying that, Pastor Larry? Be still. Because at times, there are times that he wants us to stay still. But sometimes we feel like we need to get involved in everything and do everything. No, he wants you to. He said, I got this. Alright, brother Eric? You got this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Alright. So, what God actually did with Elijah was take his ministry and give it to other people. And so, if it is that we are not careful, there are things that God has called us to do, and if it is that we refuse, or we choose to not follow the pattern, or remain in his presence, and be so directed to him, guess what? There are things that we were supposed to do, that he'll find somebody else to do it. They may not be as effective as we might have been, but he'll find somebody else. Because if it's one thing God don't do is sit down and wait for stuff to happen.
That's right. Amen.
He said that he will do it in his time, and he will do it in his time.
Yes.
Not according to our timetable, but according to his.
Amen.
So we cannot make a timetable for God. We just need to allow him to be God and let him do what he wants to do.
That's right.
Allow him to be God. We cannot be saying that he is Lord and that we're controlling our own lives. We need to totally surrender and submit that to him.
Yeah.
Or what daily prayer should be, Lord, you are the potter, I am the clay.
Yeah.
Just help me to be willing to allow you to have your way in my life.
Yes.
Lord, you bring the fire, I'll bring the sacrifice. You know who the sacrifice is, right? The shift this year.
Yeah.
We need to align. Are you willing to align this morning? Are we willing to allow him to truly be Lord? Are we willing to truly allow him to have his way in our lives? Are we willing to make the sacrifice of just being in his presence? Yeah. Are we willing to make the sacrifice of spending time in prayer and worship? Are we willing to make the sacrifice of being obedient to his voice when he speaks? Because he speaks all the time. All the time. The problem is that many times we're not listening. Or we're listening to other voices. But there's one thing I want to tell us all here this morning. We cannot do it without each other. Mm-hmm. We need each other.
Amen.
We need each other. Because the gift that you have, I need it. He gave you that gift to help me. And if it is that you're not using the gift, you're depriving me of certain things that God have in store for me. Mm. I just thought that for the that way.
Mm.
But it's ready,
mm.
The whole.
Mm-hmm.
There's a short video, I hope I can get it up. It's a clip between some animals, and I just want us to look at it. And then I'll share, I'll close off with that. I'll tell you the story. So, there was this situation painted where you saw a herd, and you can pull it up on YouTube later, or I can send a link to you, where you saw this herd of buffaloes walking next to a pond. To the far right, you saw about six lions crouching, hanging out. But just like in the military, you know, we got point men.
Mm, yeah.
So there were a couple of them that were ahead of the herd, that were moving ahead, and there you saw the lions crouching, coming along. And as they got closer, the six lions attacked the point men. And they turned around and started to run. But what they actually did was went for the smallest and weakest of the head group, the front group, and they started snapping at him. He eventually fell into the water, and then an alligator came up and was trying to get a piece of him, but the six of them grabbed him and pulled him up, and there they were biting into him. Next thing you saw, this herd of buffalo, it was amazing. This herd of buffalo just rolled up,
yeah,
like a big army,
yeah,
and they encircled the elephants, the,
yeah,
lions. And to my amazement, the lions started running.
Mm-hmm.
One at a time. One even got bitten, threw him up in the air. What I saw in that video is that we are stronger in number. But if it is that we decide to isolate ourselves, we decide to pull ourselves away from the group, we're going to be attacked.
Amen.
And we need people to back us up. We need people to support us.
Yeah.
We need people there for us.
Mm-hmm.
We need people that will be using their gifts and talents and abilities to ensure that they got my back. That they got your back. Eventually, the buffalo, the herd of buffalo was able to get rid of all the lions. They all ran away.
Oh.
And the young one that was that had gotten the job was able to, and they took him away and to take care of him. So he recognized that, listen, I need to stay as part of the herd because the enemy is just waiting for me to be out there so he can pick me up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The enemy loves when we isolate ourselves.
Yeah. Yes.
Because then he can bring discouragement, he can bring despondency, he can bring whatever, and we just fall for it.
Yeah.
Like Brother Elijah, we just fall for it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's stay together. Let's use our gifts. And let's get to work. Because I'm telling you something, if it's that you're not working, it's the easiest way for you to get discouraged. Because you have time to do, you're not doing anything with your time, so you feel like you're okay. All right? And when I talk about getting to work, I'm already talking about getting involved in the kingdom business.
Amen.
Yes, physical work too, but getting involved in the kingdom business.
Yeah.
Our focus should only be right now about kingdom.
Amen.
As Brother John would say, that should be our only focus. Not our first aspect, or only kingdom. If it's not about kingdom, move on.
Amen.
Got to be about kingdom. Got to be about kingdom. I promised my wife I was not be long today because she said it was going to be warm in the house. So. And I want to thank Sister Ebony for that word of encouragement in the beginning. See, people using their gifts.
Yes.
Because I felt the message was so short that how can I say this? Let's just stay in this right. Let's use the gifts. Let's use the talents. And if it is that you're not sure what needs to be done, guess what? They will entertain you. Just say, we need to have a meeting. They're fine with it. I think vacation ends tomorrow. Yeah, if you're not sure where Bessie gonna fit in, say, listen, we need to have a meeting. They will entertain it. Because if you are not doing what you're supposed to be doing, guess what? Everybody else is being hindered. Because your gift is supposed to be used for everybody to benefit. And if you're not using it, guess what? We're in trouble. So let's start using it.
Amen.
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 Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah.
Brother Maurice, just one thing. Sister Naomi, Pastor Naomi, months back, I don't know if she's, there you are. You made a comment and that we are not to remind each other of our past. And that we're supposed to uplift one another. Do you remember that? And it was about togetherness and lifting one another up. So when you talked about the herd, and the herd came back, and the sheep, that really stood out to me is that the herd came back, and it reminded me of that, and that when we see my brother or sister in trouble, that we have to go back, and that we have to lift that brother or sister up. But the herd came back, and that just stood out, so reminded me of that. So amen, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Maurice.
Thank you.
Thank you for the word. Just to anchor from what he has said so that you can take some substance of. The question is, are you where God wants you to be? Number two, if you're not, turn around. Stop running away. Just turn around.
Amen.
Number three, the change is here.
Yes.
The shift is here.
Amen.
The adjustment is here.
Yeah.
Number four, fine-tune your hearing as you move with God. Don't walk on assumptions. Fine-tune your hearing as you move with God. Number five, your abilities, your gifts, and skills are to benefit others.
Amen.
They're to benefit others. They're not for you.
Right.
They're to benefit others. Number six, understand where God really wants you to be and be there. Be there. Don't be found wanting. Number seven, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing at this time? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing at this time? Number eight, be tuned to the will of God always. Sustain yourself to the will of God. Number nine, don't waste time with those whom God has not assigned you to. You are not God. You can't take care of everyone.
Amen.
Only deal with those whom God has assigned you to at a point in time. Number 10. When you pray, God sharpens your eyes and your ears.
Mm-hmm.
When you pray, God sharpens your eyes and your ears. So don't fail to pray. Number 11, ask the Lord, bring the fire, I'll bring the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you are not sure of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when you get home, the Lord will give you understanding. You know where the sacrifice is. You've been hiding it. And lastly, are you willing to make the sacrifice to stay in the presence of God? What a word.
Thank you, Lord.
Appropriate for the season.
Yes.
So let's bow our heads and, as you ponder over these thoughts, the Spirit of God give all of us understanding. Get back home during the week, and we're also crossing to a new month. I'm always conscious of times and seasons in the natural, but also in the spiritual. I had one thing that God said. He said, times and seasons, as far as God is concerned, are measured by revelation and the truth. Certain things have been revealed to you now for the time and season you are in. Certain truths have been brought to you. But you must work it out in the times and seasons in the natural. That is by calendar days, weeks, months, and years. You have to work it out. But they've been revealed to you what season and time God is in so that his kingdom may come to pass on earth. His will may be done. Let us pray. I just want us to reflect and talk unto God. He's your Father. He wants to listen to your voice, just as we've had his voice. Tell him what's bothering you, what's hindering you, what's limiting you. Just tell him. He spoke about his mercy. God is merciful. Doesn't want any of us to miss it. He wants us to be right on the spot, on the mark. Sin is missing the mark. He doesn't want us to miss the mark. Just ask him, say, Father, show me. I want to be on the mark. Help me to fine-tune my hearing. Take away anything that is clustering my hearing. Lord, wherever I'm hiding the sacrifice, give me the grace to lay it before you. I lay it before you. And that's what you is the most treasure. He didn't say that, but you know that. That thing which you most treasure, that you've been holding on to, God says, just give it to me. I'll give you more.